Goodbye, Pistols Guy. Matt Amelian here with Nolan Cox. We are taking over the podcast for Pistols Firing. Nolan, I'm pretty pumped about it, man. How do you feel about starting our takeover of PistolsFiringBlog.com?
How's it going, Matt? Feel pretty good. I think with Pistols Guy, like you said, had a little bit too much on his plate, so good to take over. We're definitely a lot more entertaining than he is, at least, you know. Yeah. VO5 radio.
He's a good writer. I'll give him that.
He's a pretty good writer, yeah. But, I mean, his personality is just horrible in person, so.
Yeah, he really is lame. You know what? What's not seen is, yes, he is a good writer and he provides you with a lot of information, but his statisticians and his contributors are behind the scenes doing all the work, sending him all the links, and occasionally, we'll get one of those hat tips, as he'll like to do on the blog, but we know where the real work is done.
Exactly. So we're just continuing pretty much what we've been doing all along.
In all honesty, he does 99% of the work, and we kind of ride him for the fun stuff like doing podcasts. So we're here, and we're going to be talking majority Oklahoma State sports. There are going to be times where we have to venture off a little bit, especially right now, given it's mid-July. We've got a month until we really need to start talking about preseason football topics related to OSU, but we'll make it as interesting. We won't be contrarians, but we'll debate whenever we disagree and try not to be boring when we do agree. We'll make it good.
Let's do it.
All right, yeah. And so the first thing we got to bring up here, man, is the playoff system that was put into place. We're a little behind on this, being our first podcast, but. For those who don't know, going to take place in 2014 is when it's going to start, with four teams decided by a selection committee, and I believe the semifinal rounds, the first two rounds, are going to be basically six bowls that are just going to alternate each year, and they haven't decided for sure all the six bowls that are going to be involved. No automatic bids. First, Noah, I'll ask you. We'll start on the number of teams at four. Is this an adequate number of teams that you wanted to see when they came through with the playoff system?
I think it's a good start. I think they need to bump it to eight. I think you need to make it to where there are automatic qualifiers, whether it be conference champions or, some sort of legit system, because otherwise every fall it's going to be that one team, one or two teams that don't get in that should, and everyone's going to say that something shady is going on, and given the NCAA's past, something shady probably will go on. And,
wouldn't be college football if it didn't.
Exactly. So I guess that kind of makes it fun. It's something to talk about. But, I think you need to have some sort of defining, quality in each team. And, maybe vote in one or two teams that they were on the cusp, but have the conference champions leave no doubt as to who's going to make it. So.
So who do those automatic bids go to? If you have an 18 playoff, in your ideal 18 playoff, what conferences should get? Now, you may not know all the conferences in your head, but who gets in, who gets left out? Like how many automatics?
If you do that, let's say the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-10, Big East, and is that it? Yeah, that's the Big Five. So let's say you get an automatic bid from each of those. Any other undefeated teams that are still out there, I'd say give them, an automatic bid. Honestly, they'll get voted in anyway, but that way you've got five teams that are guaranteed a spot for winning their conference, and then you've got three other teams that, that may or may not make it. So
an 8-4 UConn can get over a 11-1 Boise State.
In that scenario, yeah, they could, but – again,
it's not going to happen every year.
It's not going to happen. You say that it's going to happen at some point. Yeah. People are going to throw a fit, but if you're not one of the eight best teams in the country going in, you don't deserve a shot at it anyway. If you're Boise State, you got to run the table to get a shot. And then,
well, see, I agree with the same thing. And you look at the Big East. How often is the Big East champion one of the eight best teams?
That's true. That's a good point. But at the same time, conferences fluctuate. The Big 12 is almost not a conference. Last summer, and then you look at like the Pac-10. It's grown into from a pretty weak football conference altogether. Now you've got USC, Stanford, and Oregon, are all pretty, you know, obviously like top 10 teams perennially over the past few years. I mean, that's going to be up and down. Big East obviously is the weakest, but, you know, there's to say 5-10 years from now, yeah, it'll still be the worst conference.
And I'm definitely against Pistols guy is a big advocate of the 16-team playoff where you give automatic bids to all conference champions and then some at-large bids. I completely disagree with that because if you've got a 10-2 Arkansas State and 9-3 Miami, Ohio winning their conferences and getting in, I mean, who are they replacing? A 10-2 Georgia? No, thank you. You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's just at that point, it's just a waste. I mean, you're not, and yeah, there might be that fun upset every now and then, just like March Madness, which, like, yeah, in theory, that's cool, but I mean, that's a month worth of football. It's four games for whatever teams make the title, and like, it's just not going to happen. I mean, even if you eliminate conference championship games, you know, that's not going to happen. And then if you eliminate conference championship games, there's a whole other, you know, argument of whether or not, you know, you should have to play head-to-head to win your conference and this and that. So that just opens up a whole other deal. With 18 playoff, if you get rid of conference championship games and just give it to the conference winners from the major conferences, you're only adding one game to the schedule if you make the national championship game. Because rather than playing the conference championship than a bowl game, you're playing the first round of the playoffs than the national title game. So there's only two teams in the country that would be playing one more game than they normally would have. So there's really no argument that, oh, they can't miss class and this and that. Plus, it's over Christmas break anyway, so I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't really heard much argument against adding games. I guess that could be an issue. I haven't heard much of it, and I haven't really taken it into consideration. Maybe they would care about, you know, playing, but it's like, who wants a month off?
No, it's awful. I mean, national title games never – it seems like the football is just kind of sloppy, and none of those teams have played in 6 weeks. It's just not – it's kind of cheapened, but, you know, well, that's my opinion.
No, I'm with you. If there was a 16-team playoff, don't get me wrong, I'd watch every minute of it. But I am good and agree with the 14. There's no reason to jump to an 18 playoff right now. Kind of as you said, for right now, yes, it's good. I always thought the plus one would be better than what we had at times. Right. But at the same time, I thought, why not just add another team to make it an easy four and you get an additional playoff game?
Here's a question. If it's an 18 playoff hypothetical, where do you play the first round games? Do you play it at the home field of the better team? Do you play it at just like a fun, you know, neutral venue like Dallas Cowboys Stadium, or do you play it at like a different neutral venue that's also a college town? So like, you know, possibly have Texas and Georgia playing in Stillwater, for example. I mean, right. What do you do?
I would think that they would do the same thing they're doing now and just find some of the other mid-tier bowls to rotate those games with. If it's my opinion, I would say play them at a home field. Give the top
yeah,
four,
I don't
give
do
the top
more.
Four
I mean,
seeds.
Yeah, exactly. I think so, too. That being said, well, in the NCAA tournament basketball, not to shift gears, I think they should have some of those first-round games in college arenas. I think that'd be awesome. But
like neutral site college arenas?
Neutral site, yeah, exactly.
You take away a whole lot if you take away that neutral.
No. Not home games.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine that?
Can you imagine seeing, you know, Kentucky play? Well, I guess that would be a later game, but.
Well, you know, like Texas some years now in Gallagher Arena.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be insane.
Texas wouldn't be as appealing because we see them all every year at Gallagher. But
right.
Yeah, that was a bad example. But Kentucky and then, like, Pitt, you know, or something like that. Yeah, I'd be down with that. That would be actually a lot of fun. That'd be fun for the fans, but we know that they don't make decisions on what would be fun for the fans. They make decisions on how much money they can get from us.
It doesn't make them as much money. That's the biggest issue. So.
But I am excited about the 14 playoff. You know, there's going to be ways. There's going to be a lot of things wrong with it, and people are going to complain. And I think one of the, you know, where we're going to see a lot of the complaints is about who gets in. So do you like the selection committee? Is that the best way to decide these teams?
You almost have to with the 14. I mean, you can't, you know, there's no set of criteria you could. I mean, there's too many variables with just four teams getting in that you can't conference champion. or it's this or that. I mean, obviously an undefeated team is going to get in regardless. So, I mean, it's tough. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that was my argument against automatic bids for the 16 team with all conferences. It's like, look, if one of those teams goes undefeated, they're going to get in a 16 team.
Exactly.
But when you go to a 14, I like the selection committee. It depends on who it consists of.
Right.
I mean,
that's the problem. If it's these guys who flat out openly admit to not watching games, then yeah, it's kind of an issue.
Just put the computers back on it. That's the thing, is these guys have to be dedicated, committed to this, because let's say you take a guy who's covering SEC football. I mean, he knows Florida inside and out, even knows Vandy, like the back of his hand. If he's going to be on the committee, he's going to have to be staying up late on the East Coast watching that late Pac-12.
Yeah, he's not going to stay up to watch USC and Stanford play.
But he has to, because if he wants an argument of who should get in over LSU and USC, both one-loss teams, how can he make a fair argument if he hasn't watched both? So how can you govern this? How can you monitor it?
The guys that are supposedly watching this are like 100 years old, so I don't think they're staying up past 9 to watch them. You know, to watch the forward pass for 3 hours. So
no, I'd almost rather have it set up like, you know, the MLB fan cave where they got guys, you know, those people are watching every single game all season. I actually got a buddy up there doing that still, and that's kind of getting jealous. But
is that a brag, or is that?
No, not for me, for him.
got it.
But yeah, I mean, who's going to watch every game? But that really is, how can you fairly make your argument when you're sitting in that boardroom, meeting room, deciding these four teams. Well, how much have you seen of Alabama? I've seen every game. How about Oregon? I've seen two or three.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and they were, yeah. So,
again, always going to be things to criticize with it, but I still think it's better than...
It's better than, I mean, it's better than the way it was, and, you know, as OSU fans, we just get to hang our hat on the fact that we got screwed so bad that they finally changed the system. So,
yeah.
Feels great.
You know, I still always go back to that missed field goal. It's like,
I don't even know if he missed it.
What I mean. Cool. Yeah. But, again, 2 inches kept us out, and I'm like, gosh.
It can, but still, like, the fact that everyone just dismisses it is like he obviously missed it is just false. If you watch the replay,
it was not obvious. I agree with that completely. It's just, it was ruled no good, so I've made that exception. I just got an update alert. Red Sox beat my White Sox tonight. That's important OSU information with Ventura up there. So, but on this selection committee, is it pretty obvious no former coaches? Do we need Barry Switzer? I mean, not calling him out just because he's OU, but
yeah, call him out.
OU and Ohio State are on the bubble for that fourth spot. Who's he pushing for? And I don't blame him.
I agree. I mean, you're not throwing Eddie Sutton on the NCAA selection committee. Why would you throw Barry Switzer on the football committee?
Yeah. I mean, Lou Holtz would be an extreme example. Like, those guys they have ties. They love their university. Can't blame them for that. I don't blame them for being a huge advocate at school, but not when it's you're deciding a. And didn't Pat Jones, was he saying he'd like to be on it, or was he just thrown out there?
I don't know. They should just make Reese Davis the czar of that and let him decide.
Oh, gosh. Get him away. Aren't they Lou Holtz? I'm still blown away. There must be some contract issues. I feel bad.
You don't like Reese Davis?
No, I love Reese Davis.
Okay.
I hate that he's with Martin May and Lou Holtz.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think Reese is the ultimate mediator. He seems to find the guys in the media that watch the games, that know their stuff. And have them decide and put.
Put him on there. He pays attention.
Yeah, who?
Herb Street.
Yeah, but he's a huge Ohio State. I mean, you know, he played for Michigan State, and they're going to be for an Oregon. Well, you know what? All these media guys, half of them come from Northwestern. They're never going to have a squad. You know, they're never going to.
We're not going to have to worry about that. Just go talk to those types. But people probably said that about Oklahoma State at one time.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
What you can do is, I think I heard they do this with the NCAA basketball tournament, is if, you know, if a team is on the bubble when they're talking about that team, if you have any tie to that school whatsoever, you leave the room.
I that
it's not necessary for everybody to be involved in the decision of every team.
Yeah. The problem is, I mean, these guys are all old cronies. They're all going to be, you know, hey, whispering in each other's ear, you know, this and that, if you vote my team in. I mean, there's just no way to make it legitimate. I mean, that's why the 18 playoff to me is the best, because you can't argue the conference champions, you know? And then the other three that may get voted in or may not get voted in, I mean, they still have to prove it. They still have to win three games against.
I could argue a 10-win Cincinnati team getting in. I mean, you're right. If it's a rule, then it's a rule. It's undebatable. But we've already proven that there's going to be things to criticize, because we're criticizing it now, and we still have 2 years.
Exactly.
To have years where we're going to see it. So.
And we're criticizing the 18 playoff, which isn't even a real thing.
Wow, we get carried away. We're impossible to please.
Step in the right direction. We can agree on that.
Yes, absolutely. And it happened pretty quickly. You know, for a while we were hearing, oh, we're not going to see it. We won't see a playoff for a long time, maybe 2020. And then, bam, just like that. Well, not one year too late, because we'd be a few years off by that time. But, you know, I mean, if OSU is where we think our program is or is going, then we should be back there. I mean, we should be in the playoff picture. Won't be in every year. But the top four
is not inconceivable.
Absolutely not, no. And just because you look at the track record of improving or matching our previous season records for, five or six years in a row. I mean, Gundy's first year was bad, but Gundy has improved or matched his previous season record.
Yeah, well, Pistols boy still thinks that Jack Del Rio's son is a better football IQ than Gundy, but...
Yeah, I saw that. People went crazy on the comment section.
Well, right, so.
I think I got his point, but I think you took it too far.
Here's a question. If OSU wants to get in the playoff, do they have to go undefeated? I guess last year kind of proved that wrong, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at last year, then no.
In a typical season, do you think a one-loss OSU gets in the majority of the time?
No, because...
Because that loss is usually going to be to OU, who's going to be undefeated.
Yeah, well, there's... Typically, I think there's going to be a one-loss OU or Texas in there as well.
Right. The problem is, we play OU at the end of the year every year. So if OU stumbles up and has a bad game and loses a game, we're still undefeated going into the last game, and we lose to OU, then we're a one loss team. They're a one loss team. They beat us head to head recently. Nobody's going to remember that, you know, their proverbial Iowa State or whatever it may be. So,
you know, that brings up another good point. What sucks is that in the polls, I hate that it matters when you lose, because it takes away from looking at the whole body of work on the season.
Stupid. Yeah, it's awful.
And what that causes that is preseason polls, you know? I mean, you could find a way to do it with preseason polls, but they got to have it, because they got to be able to build hype. And say number 3 versus number 8, you know, prime time ABC game. But, I mean, really, what does it mean? I mean, we really don't know.
Nothing.
Florida State was, what, top 5 last year preseason?
Exactly.
I was like, there's no way. They were there like 8-4.
Yeah, and what was A&M? A&M was 8 when we played them. We were 7.
Yeah, but they were that good when we played them. Then we just
they were awesome when we played them. They had a top 10 pick at quarterback.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole other podcast. But I don't think we need to beat that.
Let's not joke about that.
Good gosh, and then we can get into RG3. But no, that was anything else in the playoffs. That was good playoff talking.
That's all I got.
Okay, I mean, I'm sure there will be more. I mean, we've got 2 years until that 2014 season rolls around. But all right, man, just in honor of our first football game, which is still a little ways away, the Savannah State Tigers, I'm going to give you 30 seconds and see if you can name me the 6 other Division I, or I guess you'd say 1AA, whatever, schools with the nickname Tigers. Four pretty much guarantees, one that you might get, and then if you get them all, then I'm going to give you major props. You ready?
Tigers?
Tigers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go.
There's Auburn. There is... God, this is tougher than I thought.
Gosh, under pressure.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, bro.
I know, this is awful. It's not football season. It's not college athletics season. Auburn plays another Tigers. Who am I, like?
I'm going to give you another 30 seconds, because you're at 30 right now. Think SEC. Think SEC.
I know. If I like, watch them. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm thinking.
C.J. Spiller.
Clemson Tigers, they're not in the SEC, you idiot.
No, but Cam Newton.
Yeah, I said Auburn already.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. No,
Clemson. I'm sorry, I was going down my list.
They played another.
All right, your time's up. Honey Badger. Chase Daniel.
Yep, Mizzou.
And then I got no relevant football player for Memphis.
Who's
a running back? D'Angelo, yeah. D'Angelo Williams. This is the one I didn't expect you to get, was Princeton.
Ah.
Gosh, man, I really expected you to at least get LSU. You really embarrassed yourself on this first podcast. Was there a lot of pressure for the listener or listeners?
There was way too much pressure for the listener.
All right, man. Well, we'll wrap it up with that. You know, we'll try to do this on a regular basis. Keep them short and sweet for you guys. One thing we'd like to tell you guys before we get off here is if you have any suggestions on stuff you would like to hear us talk about, just shoot us a message on Twitter at Mattamillion or at Nolan Cox, and you know we'd definitely love to take questions or talk about topics that you ask for. We're going to try to do some stuff where we bring listeners on, you know, I mean, what, like some trivia, fantasy picks for the football season, stuff like that. And so we'll figure out ways to get you guys involved as well. All right, Nolan. I enjoyed it, man. Thank you very much.
It's been fun.
All right. We will talk to you guys soon.